Livewire with Paul Turner.
So today on Livewire, I'd like to introduce, well, I won't introduce, I shall let the group introduce themselves and their names. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hello, we're Yayan. I'm Alex, the lead singer.
I'm Martin, I'm the bassist.
I'm Sam, the drummer.
And Connor, our other guitarist, is at work, so he can't be here.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Fortunately.
So, first of all, how did you come up with the name for the group?
Well, the name Yayan is my middle name, and it's Welsh, kind of. It's spelled I-E-A-U-N, my middle name, but... basically, when we formed our band, we couldn't think of anything. We couldn't think of a name. There were names like Explosion and stuff, and they were all terrible.
Yeah,
and Martin and Connor had always taken the mick out of my name, my middle name, for a long time. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, wait, this is a good idea, isn't it, for a band name? So we decided on it, but we spelled it differently, because if we put that as our actual band name, no one would be able to pronounce it.
No.
So
everyone would just be going, Ion.
Ion. Yeah. So I think it's quite good because it's quite personal. It's a personal name rather than like The Phased or whatever.
How long have the group been going, and how did you all get together?
It's been going about a year now, is it?
Yeah, about a year.
And we've had a manager for about 8 months. And we all met at college in Bolton.
Cannon Slade
College.
Yeah. I knew Sam and Connor from high school, and Sam and Connor knew each other from primary school. And then Alex came to the college. Me, Sam and Connor were in a band, and it was really bad.
It was awful.
We were terrible. And then Alex came and made us slightly above average. So.
And now we're here.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Great journey.
So the awful stage, what sort of music were you playing?
None. We couldn't write. We were awful.
Just doing covers.
Doing covers.
Really bad covers.
Yeah, awful covers.
I went to watch them at a gig and my ears blew up.
Yeah, but Alex has written a whole load of tunes. So
yeah, so we've got lots of tunes.
Got them in storage.
We've got an album ready. About 30 songs at the moment, floating around. We've got a single called Place of Nowhere that we've written for the refugee crisis, and it's sort of concentrated on the children of the refugee crisis. And we've made a video for that, and we're donating all the song sales to UNICEF to help out. And we also took a trip last week to Calais.
Martin and Alex did.
Yeah, Martin and Alex. We went to the jungle refugee camp to meet the refugees and help out a bit. And just for the experience, because we thought if we make a video about it and promote the song about the refugee crisis, we might as well go there and actually see it for ourselves, because it's just a completely new experience. A lot different from just watching it on the screen.
Yeah, you don't understand how big of a problem it is until you actually go. Like, it's easy enough to see it on the news and like say, oh, that's not good. But actually being there really highlights the reality of the situation.
So whose idea was it to start this project then?
The song...
Well, started with a song that I wrote. I mean, I saw at the time... When I wrote the song, there was a big news story on when the Syrian crisis broke out, and I just saw lots of the footage, and I thought, well, I might as well write a song about it, because it kind of, you know, got to me a little bit, and then it just turned out to be an all right song. These guys liked it, and we just thought, you know what, we might as well, you know, try and get it out there more and get to help the crisis.
So what does the video contain?
It's made up of BBC footage put together in a certain way. It sort of fits the lyrics of the song. So we're not in it. It's very focused on the actual people. And so it's just like a music video. and that was released alongside another single that we made a music video for called Opening Doors.
It must have been quite dramatic going over there.
Yeah, it was very dramatic. It just hits you. One minute you're going down a motorway past just normal houses, and then you come off a junction, and it's just tents everywhere. And obviously, we knew all that was there, but as soon as you're there, you're like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" And you feel like you're intruding because we've come from a safe place where they're all trying to get to, and you feel like you're going to upset them or you're going to make some of them angry. But everywhere we went, people were smiling and saying hello to us and being dead welcoming to us and generous. I mean, there was a guy that we met. We gave him a packet of sweets as well as food and stuff like that. And he just gave everyone a sweet first before he took some himself. And he's basically giving to people that have a lot more than he has. And it's just, we were just gobsmacked, really.
Yeah, and like you said, it was a traumatic experience. Like, it really hits you. And we couldn't cope with it at first. We were like, this is terrible. Like, how is this real? But then when we actually interacted with the people there, it was a bit more of a, obviously it was, like I said, traumatizing, but it was quite a pleasant experience meeting the people and like experiencing their humanity, like given their situation. It was really surprising how generous they all were. So it was like a mixed, like both sad and an enlightening experience, really.
Yeah. We're going back there on the 7th and 8th of December.
I think it's the 8th and 9th.
8th and 9th.
Yeah.
We're going back there in a week or so to do the same sort of thing. We're going to give out lots more clothes because we haven't really thought about... We thought food. We bought lots of food, brought that. And then I had some spare clothes I brought, but I didn't think they'd need that much. But they were very grateful for the clothes. So
yeah.
We're going to bring a lot more this time. Do as much as we can.
Was it difficult to get food over there?
No, the security was surprisingly lacking. Yeah. They didn't check our passports on the way there.
Yeah, that was quite alarming, though,
and
wasn't it?
Didn't check the car, yeah.
Considering what had just happened in Paris and
yeah.
in other places as well.
Gosh.
We got to the border and we didn't get checked
we
at all.
We just drove straight in yeah. on the train, got there. And
yeah. I mean, the border coming back, there was
yeah, we got checks on the way back.
But it wasn't as hard as you'd think.
But yeah, we drove down. We took the Channel Tunnel. We didn't fly over. So we took all of the food in the boot of the car. But like I said, it wasn't that hard because nobody checked anything.
No, not at all.
Well, it's certainly an experience you've had that you can pass down to younger members of families in the future, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like it's people who have like a negative opinion of refugees. That's sort of a plus side of it because we know people who hold like such an opinion, and I was saying I challenge anyone to go to the camp who has a negative opinion of refugees and come out with the same view, because nobody understands it. It's all too political the way we view it when it's a it's a humanitarian crisis. Politics aside, these are people who need help.
Yeah. I mean, we met professors, teachers, doctors,
accountants,
just all sorts of people. They just, you know, a big catastrophe in their home, and they just
wasn't
run.
There a guy who walked all the way?
Oh, yeah.
A guy who walked from Afghanistan to France. 3 months it took him.
Gosh.
A long walk.
Yeah.
I suppose the reason people are against people, without getting too deeply into it, is because obviously everyone wants to come over here from everywhere, and there's no room for everybody, is there?
Yeah, I think like it's just I mean, I understand it, but I mean, I think anyone who goes there will not come out saying the same thing. It's just a much more overwhelming experience than you can imagine.
Yeah. And plus, if you go there, you realise how much more we could be doing to help them. Not just the UK, all the European countries that have a lot more money.
Yeah, it's not just a case of like saying, oh, let everybody in. It's just a case of saying, look, help them, donate what you can. Like, we played a gig and we were saying, like, it doesn't even matter about our song, just to help in some way, because, like we said, the experience changed us massively.
Because if they're brave and all that, like, going on boats and stuff to get here, then you got to feel some sympathy for them.
There was a man who said he liked living in that refugee camp simply because it was peaceful.
More so than his country.
Yeah. Obviously, he preferred to be somewhere like England else,
but it just shows what he's fleeing from.
Yeah, if he's got the option of that or his home country, then he prefers the refugee camp, and that's saying something, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess with you taking stuff over yourselves, at least you know it's going to where it belongs, whereas if it's done in such a way where it's sent abroad, and then you never know where it's gone, do you?
No.
At least you have first-hand experience of it all.
Yeah, that was the main thing, the experience. Like, there's nothing really that compares to it that I think any of us have ever done.
No. It was weird. Like, 1 minute, we weren't going to do anything. We didn't know what we were going to be doing in the next few weeks, and then we're off to Cali. The plan was made. And then we found ourselves there. It was just mind-blowing.
Now, where was the music recorded for the song?
It was recorded in my bedroom and onto Cubase, and then I produced it all there, because that's where we started off, and we didn't have much budget to spend on massive studios. And then now I've got a manager, we can't go into studios, so we'll be doing that. That'll be our next sort of recording method. But I've just been producing songs for years, really, just on my computer at home, like home recordings, and getting them to sound all right. I mean, I wouldn't say there's that much difference now, but that's where it was recorded, yeah.
There we are. So you've done a performance for BBC Introducing.
Yeah, our very first gig, we played at the Ferret Preston. That was recorded for BBC Introducing. And we've been getting played on BBC Radio Lancashire through the BBC Introducing website. That's about it for BBC Introducing.
You have to get Radio 2 to give you a gig and get it on the red button on the telly.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, that would be a great opportunity. I hope
come
that
on, Radio 2, let's, come on, do it.
So what's the, obviously, when you get sales of the track, how will the money get over there? Will you be taking it yourselves or what?
The money goes straight to UNICEF.
Oh, right.
We don't know how. Our manager deals with it.
Dealing with that part of it. He's
hopefully not pocketing it all.
Yeah. So apart from this, what are plans for the future?
We're playing in Bolton this week. it depends if you mean long term or short term. Long term, that's too far away, so we're not concerned with that.
Do uni.
Yeah, but we're all doing different things at the minute. We all want to do stuff with our music.
Yeah, we'd all love it to take off, but we can't guarantee rely on that.
Shirk our responsibilities.
Yeah, we're all at uni, just making sure we're safe. And doing band at the same time and
playing the waiting game.
Yeah.
So I guess being up north, obviously, is so popular. I guess you could be warmer packs in the future for groups like Take That and such people.
Yeah, well, it's we
would
do
Take That want us.
Yeah, would you want Take That?
they're even still together.
So do you have any plans to be sort of warmer packs for people?
I don't know, we do surprisingly little in Manchester, considering how big it is.
But we almost got a...
I don't know, it's just, there's... We've done a lot, We've done something in London. We've done a few things in Preston, but we've done nothing in Manchester.
We need to get on.
We need to question why.
Yeah.
Apart from that sort of bit of social media you don't use, do you use any other social media?
The usual ones. We're Facebook, on Facebook and Twitter.
We have an Instagram, but I don't think we.
Connor uses that. Probably so, just posting selfies of himself. Obviously, of himself is a selfie.
But we've got Facebook, YouTube, Twitter.
We need a Snapchat. We need one.
We need MySpace.
We've got enough fans to have a Snapchat. Yet. No. We'll just be Snapchatting each other.
We do that anyway.
Now, where can people buy the track?
It's up on all the big track purchasing websites.
iTunes
mainly. Well, it's on Spotify as well. If you go on our Spotify, there's a random song, Chinese folk song, that somehow made it onto our page.
I don't know.
Ignore that.
It's great.
It's the original Yi Yan.
Yeah, that's the Chinese Yi Yan woman.
But anyway, it's on iTunes. What are the other ones?
Yeah, iTunes,
Google
Amazon.
Play Store, is it on that? Like the music?
So. There's Amazon, Google Play Store.
Tidal, I don't know. Apple Music.
Yeah, that's iTunes.
No, Apple Music is like a Spotify thing. Rival.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's very underwhelming.
Come on, get your knowledge, mate. Get some knowledge.
How much do you hope to raise from the single?
As much as possible. Hey, there we go.
That was a good answer.
Sky is the limit.
Yeah.
You haven't thought of a figure that you hope
actually
we'll get to.
Apparently we've sold 80 copies already.
Without promotion as well.
Let's push for 100. More than that.
I'm sure it will do very well.
As well, just cause.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And I'll get you to introduce the track in a moment and we'll finish off with that. But good luck with the sale of that and well done for helping people instead of pocketing the money yourselves, which is absolutely brilliant.
Thanks.
And I'd also like to thank you for taking time out and being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And if one or all of you want to introduce the track, I'll let you do that now.
This track's called Places Nowhere, and all the song sales go to charity.
Yeah. feeling so right, and I will show you how. There's no stopping now, we're standing in a place in the
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media.